It's Monday, John. Monday, the 9th.
Monday. All right, sure.
A late one.
As long as this goes up before midnight, it's still Monday.
That's right. John Stanhope, this is Boss Barrel Radio, episode 68. I'm Griffin Hoffman, hosting. How are you doing? How does everything sound?
It sounds great. Dude. I had headphones.
Dude.
Yeah, shush.
Dude.
I had headphones before, and it sounded awesome, but now that I have, all-encompassing ear cans.
You got the Beats by Dre.
Yeah, the Beats by Dre. So I can hear all the fancy bass in my voice.
That's good.
No, I don't have Beats. I have... What did I buy?
Sennheiser, right?
Sennheiser.
They're cheap,
didn't
right?
Want it to. Yeah, I mean, they were discounted. They sound good. They were discounted cheap, but either way, I mean, they sound good.
As long as they sound good.
They're soft. They comfortably cover my ears.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey. Sounds great. And I think it sounds better than the earbuds that I've been wearing before, because when I talk now, I don't hear the sound of my voice on top of the sound of my voice, so it doesn't interrupt me the same way that it used to. So I think I'll keep bringing these. Plus, it's got that extra long cord, so it doesn't inhibit us as much.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sweet
long cord.
I might... After
it's
I get all
cords,
my other...
That's what the ladies are always into, right?
After I get the other 5 purchases I need to get done for this podcast, I might consider getting a pair of those.
Oh yeah, sure.
Or before FYE collapses.
I've been thinking about birthday purchases for you, and I've been thinking they could be podcast related.
I'll take a pair of headphones.
I was driving by a fancy radio audio shop one day with Tara, and I was like, you know what I should get Griff for his birthday?
Something off my Amazon wish list.
See, I've been doing this too. Damn you and your Amazon Prime account.
What?
Because ever since I got that Amazon Prime account, I'm going through and making a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer it comes to my birthday...
How many wish lists do you have?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one solid wish list.
Wait till you start organizing them into different wish lists.
Shit. But so this is what I'm going to do.
That's probably just me, though.
Closer to it... to my birthday it becomes, I will just post it on Facebook, be like, hey, look for my wish list on Amazon, and you can purchase me whatever you would like.
You gotta start
anything from there.
Doing it like the...
crazy things. Like the Scotch Rocks. I want to buy those.
See my gift guide from 2011.
Right? No, I know. And just...
I found a pair of them. I found a set of them.
A set? There's like 6...
In real life.
But 6 in a pack, yeah.
Dillard's or Yonkers,
really?
Somewhere. Oh. They had it in the gentleman's action section. They had in the clothing
an
section.
An outlet store had these?
A really? Clothing, weird. Like, right. Yeah. A, whatever you call it, a big retailer thing, superstore. Whatever. It was in they had a whiskey area set up in the suits. And it had a bunch of
books. That would make sense.
It makes sense, yeah. It was cigars and whiskey, books, and a bunch of other things. And one of the things was a box of Scotch Rocks. So I opened it up because I wanted to see what they actually looked like. I was really disappointed because they're sugar cubes.
Yeah, they're cube
and
rocks.
I don't want that.
You don't want...
No, I want three times the size. I want them to be the size of golf balls.
They're tiny?
Sugar cubes. The size of a sugar cube.
Really? Because all the... The pictures seem to scale out to about maybe a...
It's one inch by one inch. Internet, man. It's all trick photographs.
Really? That seems...
Smaller girl makes the Scotch Rocks look bigger.
Right? Yeah, just tiny girl. They're huge. No, okay, that's weird.
That's why I would have bought them, because I really wanted the Scotch Rocks.
Really weird.
But
well, I mean,
I didn't
different
get them
brand, different size.
That's what I'm guessing.
Okay,
I figured this was just a smaller one.
Because the ones I had posted on or my wish list for Amazon were the slightly above average priced ones, and they came 6 to a pack, and it looked like 3 to 4 would fill a Scotch glass pretty easily. So I'm. And that was only $20, so...
Oh, nice.
That seemed plenty reasonable to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Make a Scotch drinker like me really happy if you just give me 6 Scotch Rocks. That'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Yep. Not having to make ice cubes.
Right.
Great.
The fuck ice cubes.
But then
dude.
I feel like you fall down this hole of like, now I need more Scotch rocks.
Right. Just, man.
You're
six
like,
is good, but if I could have
if
12.
If it's like three to a glass, then you got two glasses chilled.
Right. I got to be rotating those out at least once every glass.
Maybe it's better, though. Maybe it's better if you only have six, because then you limit how many glasses of Scotch you can drink.
But then, no. So here's the other thing, though, is like, I noticed today. As people may not be able to notice, I'd already been on a whiskey kick today, but
same song.
Lipped it tulipula woozy.
The arsonist hat.
Alcohol tends to break down ice cubes faster than most normal drinks.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty positive. At least that's been my experience.
Okay.
Is it
you engage a lot of other room temperature drinks?
I haven't done like any like cross analysis on this or anything, but it's just
okay, Mr. Science. Tell me.
I'm just saying it's just I thought I'd heard and I'd sort of witnessed that alcohol tends to cut down ice a lot faster. It tends to just bring it more like bring the ice to room temperature a lot faster because of the alcohol content. Anyway, irrelevance is I wonder. If it doesn't necessarily affect the temperature, I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Where are you going with
this? I'm just saying the ice rocks would work on one to two drinks as opposed to ice cubes that would work for one drink, and then you would have to refill cubes a little bit to compensate for the loss of cube. Maybe.
I don't know. I guess it depends on how cold you get your rocks.
Well, I mean, it says 4 hours for cooling and serving.
How cold can you get a rock?
Minimum 4 hours.
Is a rock going to be the same temperature as water?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how many rock jokes you want to make at this point. Can you smell what the rock is cooking?
No. Because it's frozen.
Because it's frozen, right.
Yeah, the molecules slow down.
Right.
You can't smell what the rock is. You've never been able to smell what the rock is.
Well,
have you?
Okay. There was a time when the rock existed and my sense of smell existed that I may have been able to smell what the rock was cooking. But I was also not a big WWF backer. So at the time that the rock was cooking things, I was probably smelling wood. Goldberg was cooking, which is usually filled with
fireworks.
Pyro and sweat.
Yuck.
Nothing good, that's for sure. I mean, I could still smell back when the Big Show was the Giant.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
And that's after Andre the Giant died. And the new giant took. See, wrestling is such a weird mythology.
So I'm telling you, if Phil made a podcast about wrestling, I would listen to
you
it.
You just listen to it?
Heck
just
yeah.
The chronology
of all
wrestling.
Maybe I should do that.
Just invite him on and you and I can just pick his brain and just do it a special podcast.
I think it'd be great.
Completely dedicated to all wrestling. And we can bring up our concerns about all of wrestling. I've watched enough wrestling and I've looked into enough wrestling stuff that I could pick his brain, because he seems to have more in the know on this than you or I.
You don't even know. Phil
I told you. He told me the whole explanation
I know.
Of The Rock's left arm.
I talked to him about WrestleMania from the previous weekend, because I didn't have a chance to watch it.
Did he watch it?
Yeah, he watched it.
Oh, Jesus.
He told me about every major match.
I didn't.
It was really, really good.
This is not me being bigoted, but I did not realize that a man of his persuasion could be so interested into professional wrestling.
I don't see why not. I mean, he loves it.
I mean, it's
theater,
right? On several levels, it pings to the gay community. So, but just in not
okay.
in not the ways.
I'm gonna
that
cut
you
this off
think,
right now, just, and let's just move on to video games.
All right. Fair enough. Done.
Tell me about Peanut Butter, John. I mean, Park.
Oh, you want South?
So, yeah, you played Tenement's thing?
I played the demo for Tenement's Revenge. It's not that bad. I mean, it is a 2D platformer that is really basic in the way that it plays games. Imagine you just playing any old arcade 2D platformer game.
Okay.
It's not anything too fanciful. You have up to 4-player co-op. Each character has their own unique abilities. Like Kyle has the ability to become a daywalker ginger, which means he gets he gets to pass through the day, like the ginger. Like they have these walls of sensory beams that will detect whether or not you're a ginger. And so since Kyle is a ginger, he can take off his hat and become a ginger and just walk through the walls.
For expanded parts of the level or something?
Yeah.
It's, can so all the characters go into a different expanded part of the level?
Yep. Every character has their own unique way of getting through different parts of different levels. And you can play through the whole thing single player, but you'll miss out on certain parts if you don't have those certain characters, which would mean you'd have to play through it again. So if you have...
It sounds like a pain in the butt.
It is a pain in the butt. The thing of it that gets me,
special level exploration powers factor into actually playing? Or is it just like, I have this colored hat, so I open this door?
Well, I would say that Kenny's super high jump ability factors into certain tactical advantages. I would say Cartman's gut thrust, or like, essentially, it's a gut thrust, has a certain... combative advantage to it. Stan's football throw definitely has a combative advantage.
So you can use them outside of unlocking doors.
I didn't use Kyle's, so I don't know if that has a tactical advantage. Also, on top of it, each character can turn into their respective superheroes, which means, what is it? Stan turns into the tool shed, and Kenny turns into... Oh, damn it.
Mysterio?
Yeah, Mysterion. And Kyle turns into Kite Man.
That's pretty bad.
That's racist. But it's, it's bad.
And Cartman is Coon. Or
yeah, what? Cartman's the Coon. And they all have their own special abilities when they get to... like it's a very, very weak version of Mega Man with a potential 4-player property.
With what? Player property?
A potential 4-player property. Like where you're what all... does that mean? Imagine if you could play Mega Man with 3 other Mega Men.
Uh-huh.
Where you could all gain your own special abilities. At any. It's... I don't know. It's a 2D platformer where you jump and you can do shooty abilities.
So it's kind of like an early 90s arcade game like X-Men or Simpsons or something like that where each person has a special ability.
Yeah.
But... yeah. It also has that added bonus of exploration.
Right. The problem... or not the problem, I'm sorry. The thing that made it uniquely interesting to me, but not enough to make it really worth the money that you would be spending, is that the humor involved in it and the art style presented in it are good enough that it's like you're actually playing... an episode of South Park. Like, all the animation is on level with the same animation they use in South Park.
Huh.
The comedy sounds like it's directly written for the game by, what is it, Trey Parker and Matt Stone for this game. It's Scott Tenorman has stolen Cartman's hard drive for his 360.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the kids don't have any of that save information for the games that they've been playing. So, god damn it, what was it? They reference like 2 or 3 games that is just like, will the kids have to go back through and watch all the cutscenes for Batman Arkham Asylum?
Or did they say real game names?
They say real game names.
Not games from the show like the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, it's not made up shit.
Guitar Hero?
They name Xbox 360 and they name like video games that have come out in the last 2 years.
I've heard it's kind of weird though because this dude steals a hard drive out of an Xbox. but he has to open the Xbox up to get it.
Yeah,
however,
no, there
it's
are
one of the detachable top-mounted Xbox of the old model.
Yeah, I noticed this weird thing because they show a cutscene of him ripping open the Xbox to get to the hard drive, but when he like shows the hard drive above his head, it's the one that comes from an original 360, which means it has that detachable like clip interface.
Exactly.
But even the new 360 hard drives, you don't
pop the back slot
open. Yeah, you pop a slot off the side and you pull it out with a tab.
He's a kid. He's trying to get to that hard drive.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Maybe he had the arcade edition.
Presumably, Tenorman has no idea how to open a 360, but in the future, he knows how to construct like a ginger robot horde. So,
also, it's contrived. South Park, so who
right.
cares?
So it's South Park. It doesn't really matter, you know. Just
so why didn't you buy it? Sound like you really are. You're digging it.
It's fine. The thing that keeps me from buying it is that I would love to have more people to play with it. That's what.
You can play online, right? Online co-op.
Maybe. I didn't see an option, but I guess I didn't look too hard for it. There were other things I had on my agenda.
Such as other games?
Yeah, other games. Like that,
Shinomura?
Yeah, that thing.
The bullet hell shooter?
Yeah, it starts off as not seeming too bullet hell-y, but oh, does it get that way?
Mm-hmm.
So, at first, I spent the longest time trying to figure out the health system for that game.
Yeah, I hear that time factors into this game really heavily. How does that work?
A lot more than I expected it would. I read the whole like synopsis for it at the beginning and then started playing it and I was just like, there's no health meter. How do I know when I die? But then I started to realize the more I take hits, the more there. Okay. So every stage you're on, you have a set amount of time and that time is ticking down. The more you take damage, the more that time ticks down faster. Like every time you take a hit, it cuts down and then you can slow down time to allow you to dodge better or get around terrain a lot better. And the faster you dispatch your enemies, the faster you dispatch enemies, the more time is allocated to you at the end.
Is it like a combo system you're racking up? Like the more enemies you kill, the more combos you get, and the more multiplier, and the more time you get? Or is it like your combo is broken by taking a hit? Or is it just purely speed of killing enemies?
It's purely the quicker you can get through the stage, the more time they add to you. So I guess this is the way I would think of it. Is imagine you're running a race and you get to that checkpoint and then it tells you did that much faster than this one time. So
but what about when you do it? We've never done it before.
Well, it's just saying that like there is a
you got a part time.
There's about a part time, and if you finish it faster, there you get some more time back. If not, then you're gonna stick about the same. I mean, and you also factor in the amount of damage you take that reduces it. They're pretty generous.
You have a slowdown time ability, right? Mm-hmm. Does that slow down the time ticking away at the bottom, or is that your risk reward? Where like you slow down time to be more evasive and nimble with your movements, but you're also losing more time / health while you're doing this?
It slows down everything except for your maneuverability.
Oh.
So the time on the ticker slows, all the bullets slow, the reaction for the enemies slow, your bullets and your plane do not slow.
So there's no repercussion to slowing down time?
Other than that meter that you have to slow down time is finite. And you can only recur that. You can only rejuvenate that by picking
rejuvenate.
Up, yeah, you can only pick. You have to pick up pellets to rejuvenate that.
Mm.
So, I mean, you have to use that sparingly. And in certain cases, there are terrain that you need that to get around because it's coming at you so fast that you need to slow down time to get like up and over certain bits of terrain that otherwise you wouldn't be able to hit those angles.
Mm.
So it's interesting and it's cool. The weird language that they have.
The talky bits?
Yeah, the talky bits in the game are so perfectly crafted that I'm not familiar enough with the world language that it sounds like German.
Okay. Because the
at first it sounded like Japanese slash German slash some weird Nordic, like possibly Icelandic slash maybe Hungarian, Turkish. I don't know.
Right. I was going to say, doesn't the developer out of like Hungary or
it might, yeah.
Turkey, does that exist?
For all I know, it could be Hungarian. I have not researched the developers.
It's not like the Star Fox, but dip.
No, it is not that. It sounds like an audible language that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But almost like Elvish.
Right.
It's
like Banjo Kazooie.
Like it sounds like a thing that could be real, but it's just like
I don't know.
Maybe these guys,
how I would imagine they would talk.
Maybe these guys aren't speaking anything. It just could, but it's just done with such a style and a class that it makes me think that it's real.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be too difficult to find that answer. The internet has it.
Yeah, sure. By at this point, it's probably real. If you like bullet hell games, side-scroller games, it's really good.
Did you play the full game or the demo?
This is just the demo. Okay, but the demo is pretty long.
Because it's a $15 game, right? And what I've heard is you can get through the main story in about an hour and a half, if that.
Rough.
So
for $15.
For $15. I mean, if you're into the, if you're a bullet hell guy, then this is the game for you.
Yeah. It does certain things to it that I thought were really interesting, along with taking damage. So you can pick up firing upgrades. Weapon upgrades. So at first you're just shooting one bullet at a time, and then that increases your speed of the one bullet, and then you'll pick up one that makes it two bullets, and then that picks up the speed, you know.
Yes, you get more things that upgrades your gun.
But on top of when you take a hit, you lose time. Your ship also will spit back out those pellets and reduce your ability to shoot.
Your weapon upgrades.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to go recover those again, or...
Is it a 1-to-1 loss?
No, it is a 1-to-2. So you get hit once, you'll lose
2. No, I mean, like, if you... Whatever you lose, you can go pick up.
Yeah, I mean, essentially. Like you get hit once, you lose 2 upgrades.
But you can still pick those 2 things up. It's not like you lose 2 and you can only pick up 1.
You can reacquire them. The issue that I ran into, at least in the demo, was that... You tend to run a high risk at trying to retrieve those when it may just be more to your benefit to just continue trying to dodge as best you can and continue shooting at the enemy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Risk-reward.
Shoot them up.
Risk-reward.
Weird. Speaking of risk-reward, John, why don't you tell me a little bit about the post-apocalyptic gun... horror with survival without horror. I am alive.
Again, I only played the demo because I didn't know if I wanted to drop the money on it. But
do you know how much it is?
$15, I think.
All right.
Yeah, 1,200 points. It's 15. Yeah.
Oh, you.
What?
Nothing. Continue. You will find out soon.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned for our new segment.
Okay.
Listener.
I don't know.
Do you have fun bluffing dudes?
Yeah, bluffing dudes, pretending like I got things I don't. It seems like a simulated sort of poker game where you're just like, I got a pistol. But maybe it's got bullets, maybe it don't.
I don't know, that sounds pretty cool.
It is a little cool, but the more times you do it, the more it seems just like a...
The seams start to show.
Yeah, where it's just like, this guy... It's
you
just
get
like,
the pattern down where you're like...
You instantly are just like, yeah, this guy will either take the bluff or won't take the bluff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's he's either an idiot or not idiot. Yeah, and then you have contingencies based on that. And, you know, traversing the terrain seemed fun at the beginning. And just, I don't know, like, the game has so much promise to begin with it. And it's so interesting to begin with that I don't know. It doesn't do enough bad that I would immediately dismiss it. It may be still something that I may yet go back and purchase. Hmm. Depending on how good or bad like Summer of Arcade turns out to be, may still go. Even though some of that stuff is really like cut and dry, like, you know, you can fool dudes or you can't fool dudes. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem too awful. I've played worse games, is what it comes down to. Like, it seems good enough to catch
better my better or worse than the Hunger Games, the movie.
Oh. Oh, that's a tough one.
So solid meh.
Meh. It's a solid resounding meh. It's a solid meh. The one major thing I would complain on is while I think the idea of having a stamina gauge associated with your ability to climb and traverse terrain is a really good idea, I think the way in which they have scaled it out seems absurd. Me climbing up the side of a ladder, reducing my stamina almost entirely by the time I get up 20 feet, seems preposterous.
You ever climb a 20-foot ladder?
I've climbed a 12-foot ladder. I can't imagine the next day.
So you don't know.
Would just kill me.
It could.
I'm not saying it would kill me.
It was very taxing after 15 feet.
See, that's the thing. Like, okay, a 12-foot ladder. Okay, but see, I've rappelled. Repelling doesn't...
Is there rappelling in the game?
And not that I encounter.
There you go. Right. You don't know.
Fine.
Speaking of the Hunger Games, John, why don't you tell me something about the movie Gamer?
Oh, man. So I was just in a weird spot this afternoon, and I decided to just watch...
I had the day off. Didn't know what to do.
I just was a little bored, a little lethargic, and I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to see what's on Netflix and just watch the most mediocre thing I come across.
You know what you should have done? You should have watched Redline.
Redline?
Way better.
It's
a good anime.
Oh.
You can get it on PlayStation Network for like $4 rental.
Okay.
It's by the dudes that did the Animatrix.
I also keep meaning to watch... Wait a minute.
Banjo and Kazooie.
There's a what?
The Street Fighter movie.
Yeah, that. Okay, disregard.
Street Fighter movie Shazam.
Alakazam. But, okay, so anyway, Gamer, the movie.
Uh-huh.
Really, the movie's a lot different than what I expected it to be.
What were you expecting from
Gamer? I was expecting it to be more about the weird hardship / connection between this kid and the person he is controlling as a...
Because it's just like, it's like another Running Man movie where it's like, this is a criminal condemned to death, but we make that death exciting by making it a sport viewable by everybody.
Yeah, but they shit can that really quickly.
Huh.
And they just turn everything into a really weird thing. Sims is in that game.
Whoa.
Or, I'm sorry, Sims is in that movie. Also,
whoa.
An absurd amount of pornography is in that movie.
How much weed is in the movie?
Nil.
Really?
Yeah.
That is shocking.
There are no narcotics in that film.
Because I was going to say, they're going to play to their audience, you know?
It's really interesting. Like, they start out with, like, how... The con and the person...
Like Jim Brewer shows up and he's like stuck in the game.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And the guy who's controlling him is like smoked in like a giant bong. And
nope.
Yeah.
They do play a little into this where Gerard Butler, he's your main character. He's controlled by a 17-year-old kid who has become like kind of like an icon because he's gotten his con further in games than anybody else has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And they show like a really interesting side of it where it's like he gets to choose like the upgrades and the ammunition and the weapons that he goes into combat with before the matches start. So he's like, he flips through like different menus of that stuff. And then they cut to him like going out and field testing the stuff that he's decided that he will wear. It's just really weird and interesting.
Like, kind of cool, actually?
Yeah, like, in a slightly cool way.
I need guns, lots of guns?
No, none of that stuff. Oh. There's a certain layer of amazing, and then there's a certain layer of, like, oh, we took away all the amazing, and this is how gritty, like, the not amazing is. Where it's, like, the kid is sort of, like, on his, like, I step into the room next to my bedroom, which is my computer. Like, he steps into a room. It's like Gundam. It's like G Gundam.
So he's like dance fighting.
Yeah, he steps into a room that is the internet, where he's just like, over here on the left side of the room is my control panel for my convict in Slayer, and then over here on the right is that window that I left open for pornography, and then here on the back wall is where I left that window open for those girls that love me, that want to chat to me. It's like ridiculous nonsense. And then, but so he'll flip through, like, oh, I want him to use this ammunition, and I want him to have this flak jacket. And then it cuts to Gerard Butler sitting there on a bench being all depressed, and then a guard comes up and says, it's time for your upgrades. And they take him out to, a rock quarry out back, where he gets to virtually, like, test out the ammunition and armor that they just purchased for him. So it's, that part of it's kind of interesting, but the coolest part of this whole thing, that I was probably hungry when this happened, but the kid spreads on a sandwich what looks like to be, at least at first, avocado, like guacamole.
Like a
green paste of some sort. And then spreads jelly on it, and then covers it up and eats it.
What does he cover it with?
Another piece of bread.
Oh, okay.
Bread.
Like a classic sandwich.
Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Instead, remove the peanut butter and insert some sort of green
classic sandwich construction.
Yeah. But
two bread layers with a central layer with a green of something that pasty isn't bread.
Peanut butter thingy in the middle. Yeah, sure. So later on, when he's being
I need to get this right. I want to paint me a mind picture.
I'm trying.
Sandwich.
What he created originally, not relevant. What's relevant is later on, a cop is giving him the third degree because something happens and the kid's in question. And so the kid says, is there any way I can get a sandwich? And he goes, what kind of a sandwich do you want? And he says, well, if you can get me like a pistachio butter and jelly sandwich, that would be great. He's like, they make pistachio butter? And he goes, yes, and it's amazing. And so I looked it up. For $18, you can get a pound of pistachio butter.
Do you like pistachios?
I love pistachios.
Huh?
So for $18, I would consider pistachio butter.
This is a pound, too.
A pound is like a quart.
Is it on Amazon Prime?
Yes, that's the... Yeah, it's like $18. $18, Amazon Prime, I can get myself a pound, essentially.
So theoretically, there could be any kind of nut butter.
Well, there are other things on there, too, that you can get. I forget what they are. The other was like hazelnut and pistachio.
Almond butter.
Yeah.
I think I heard of that.
Maybe almond butter sounds right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
Is it like people eat that who are allergic to peanuts or something?
Sure.
Walnut butter.
Walnut butter, sure. I don't know. Pistachio butter sounded the best to me. It sounds really savory.
Oh, hazelnut God. Butter.
So good. Well, hazelnut butter, wouldn't that just be Nutella?
I don't know.
Chocolate hazelnut?
No.
No?
I don't know.
No, I feel like it's got to be chocolate hazelnut for Nutella. There's a specific, like, hazelnut. I don't know. All I'm saying is, at first, that sandwich looked gross, but then after he defined, like, I was like, is he just putting guacamole and jelly on a sandwich? That looks gross. But then, yeah. Pistachio butter.
Guacamole on a sandwich is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, on a sandwich.
You don't like guacamole,
wait,
do define, you?
No, guacamole, not really.
No, I mean, you make like a, like, I'll a, eat it. Like a turkey club sandwich, but you put an avocado spread on it.
Okay.
Some bean sprouts.
How... So, the issue with my guacamole is it's got to be pretty finely tuned. Too chunky, and I start to get... but just like my peanut butter, too chunky, and then I get a little meh. I get a little
too chunky is too funky for John.
Exactly.
You don't get down with that funky chunky peanut butter.
Too much junk in the trunk of the chunky peanut butter funk. I don't know how many words can I rhyme with unk.
Not a lot, apparently. Why don't I talk to me about why Angry Birds Space matters?
Oh, damn it. It doesn't really matter. Do you own an iPhone, Griff?
Nope.
Okay, so don't worry about it. But, I don't know. We talked about it the other week about Angry Birds Space.
You liked how there was gravity in it.
Yeah, okay, so...
Space gravity.
Damn it, space gravity.
Gravity wells.
So...
One might call them.
Say you're out in space and you shoot a bird from a slingshot, then he just drifts through space.
Mm-hmm.
But say you shoot a bird from that slingshot and then it enters orbit to a planet, then it starts to gain the gravitational pull of that planet. That's what makes Angry Birds Space interesting. Is you're shooting a bird from various locations on various different types of gravity, which makes it different.
Normally, if you shot a bird in space, it would just go straight.
Right.
Because of Newton's laws.
Right.
Nothing would affect its trajectory. However, since you have wells of gravity at certain locations, the bird's trajectory will get pulled to a certain degree based on how strong that pull is.
And they have varying differences of gravity pull for different planets, and you have to plan on the trajectory.
Are you still killing pigs in space?
Well, okay, so here's the other cool thing.
Pigs in space?
The pigs can be in space, and they can have a containment field around them. So if you bust that field, then the pigs just freeze.
Oh, but the birds don't? Do the birds die when you launch them?
The birds do not freeze in space for whatever reason.
So they're so hot-headed and angry.
Just ignore the fact that they don't freeze in space. But
you got, 6 seconds to not freeze in space?
If that, yeah.
Right?
It's something not a lot. That. Yeah, dude, you die in space.
You got time.
Yeah, pretty much you die in space.
Well, to just not freeze.
Oh, to not
freeze? Because I'm sure, the gamma radiation will just instantly curdle you into a tumorous lump.
Yeah, so the thing, yeah, I don't know. They haven't changed a whole heck of a lot.
Are there new birds?
They added one new bird, and they changed the property of one of the birds.
I would imagine the one that drops eggs would just turn into eggs now, right?
Non-existent.
Oh.
That bird, it does not exist anymore.
Is that the Rio bird?
No. I mean, we can go on forever about the Angry Birds Rio and what the Rio bird
does. No, we did this before.
Okay, so we're done. Which would you like to hear about first? The bird that got augmented or the new bird?
Can I choose neither?
Okay.
Just tell me about the birds. I don't care.
Okay. So, new bird is a square-shaped bird that when you launch it, it's an ice bird. When you launch it and then it hits things.
Articuno.
Yeah, exactly. Articuno. It's like an Articuno baby. You launch it and then it hits things. And then whenever you tap it, it explodes and it freezes everything in its proximity. Allowing it to all essentially turn to glass, which means then the bluebirds can hit it and just break right through it. So you kind of get the plan for that one.
Okay.
The yellow birds from Angry Birds before had the ability to break through wood very
easily. Angry
Birds
Earth.
Yes, Angry Birds Earth. You could shoot
Welcome
those
up. To
Earth.
Ka.
You could shoot yellow birds, and then whenever you push, tap the screen, they would do their secondary fire, which is just, launch themselves at the angle that they're currently flying, and they just shoot.
Torpedo birds.
Yeah, they just jettison their speed at that angle that they're flying and just go. So it took a little timing and it took a little thinking to make that happen.
Yeah. As if you threw a bottle rocket into the air lit, and then when the fuse goes all the way into the bottle rocket, it shoots immediately.
Yeah, essentially. But you could time it. It's like being able to have a button on that bottle
rocket.
But what they have changed it to now is the birds are now purple, and wherever I shoot them, wherever I touch on the screen is where they'll hone into. Oh. And they will make a beeline for that spot.
Okay. So they got an afterburner.
Yeah. So they'll shoot in a direction, but if say I shoot them in one direction and then I shoot the opposite direction, like if I tap the screen in the opposite direction, they'll shoot for that opposite direction.
Or any direction.
Does not matter. Now, I mean, they will be interrupted by things in their path, but I mean, it's a little bit more controlled than it was before, where I have to shoot an arc and then I have to plan that arc to meet a certain trajectory, to exceed at a certain trajectory. Now it's more like I shoot it at a
more like trajectory.
Yeah, trajectory. Yeah. So those are the only major bird changes that they've made. They made a change, a very, very slight change to the red bird and the big red bird. The big red bird is now a big green bird. And both of them have a secondary ability where you tap the screen and they make a loud caw and they scare the pigs, but that doesn't really do
anything.
Does it do anything? It's nothing that I can tell. So, I mean, there might be somebody out there that says that I'm an idiot and I don't know how to play my Angry Birds, but it doesn't do anything significant that I can ascertain.
Okay.
But I've beaten it all, and it's...
It costs less than a dollar?
It costs a dollar to hit all of it except for the final stage that they have out right now. If you would like to purchase the final stage...
No, I would not.
It's a dollar extra, so I've spent...
I'll pass on that.
$2 on Angry Birds. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I've spent $2 on Angry Birds. On multiple stages, there are these
golden... Does Rovio still own it? Or Roxio?
Yes, Rovio. Rovio, you are correct. Yep. They still do.
I-O?
They're making...
Zynga hasn't bought them yet?
Not yet. Not that we would like to pitch any ideas to Zynga about...
I'm sure they just can't.
I'm sure Rovio is doing well enough on their own that they do not need Zynga to acquire them to help out their financial situation.
Yep.
Situation. Yeah, that's it about birds in space.
I heard you just beat Binary Domain.
Yeah, John. Did that today, maybe a few hours ago.
You got that game.
It's good. I already put it in my mailbox and sent it away, hoping for Silent Hill Downpour. But
so
that's
I take it,
not...
You're not playing any online multiplayer?
I went to decide to play the multiplayer, but then I realized it's just horde mode stuff or versus mode stuff, and I didn't want to do it.
Oh, there is a versus mode?
There's a versus mode that I didn't look into, and I tried the horde mode bit. It's essentially... It's a gauntlet mode. It's just, you just play through wave after wave after wave of... robots, and
that's the horde mode.
Yeah,
like classic Gears of War horde mode.
Yeah,
versus is
something I didn't look into. Oh, okay. I just versus sounded like it required more than me, so I didn't want to be a part of it. So I just.
How is Japanese Gears of War?
Man, is it good?
Really?
But it's I mean, okay. If you want to compare it to Gears of War.
It's exactly like Gears of War.
Yeah, it's exactly like Gears of War.
Terrible story and voice acting, but fun to play.
Terrible story and voice acting. Yeah, no, it's exactly like Gears of War, but Japanese-ass Gears of War. It's like if Japan went, hey, that Gears of War game is really good. Mm-hmm. Why don't we make something like that? And then made it. It's really good. Like,
you said it reminded you of Vanquish? Like in the art style?
In the art style and in the story approach and in the character design. It's very like...
A lot of dudes this named is, Sam.
Yeah.
Lots of Steve Blum in it.
Okay, so the main character's name is Dan Marshall.
Good enough.
Daniel Marshall.
That's a good name.
Yep. Yep. Really good name. Yep. Roy Botang is the other American's name.
That is not a good name.
That is a terrible American name.
Wait, is
name.
He from the South?
He is... He could be Southern. He doesn't say a lot of too Southern. He could be
is
somewhere like between Detroit and New Orleans.
I was going to hope he's like the Boonhauer of the...
No, not that way. But
no,
not that
robots.
Bad. Not that bad. But he's... I don't know. But man, off air, I will tell you how amazing that game gets. There are like... that game has no plot twists until the last hour, until you're just like, stop it. Just stop. Just stick with one thing, because I can't handle any more nonsense. Like, all of it's so good that I'm just reeling from the last one when they introduce the next one. I'm just like, no.
Why? So the setup is like, in the future, there are like Terminator 2 style robot men that are fleshy and don't know their Blade Runner injected with.
Yeah. So Geneva thoughts. Convention has expanded to the idea that you cannot create human looking robots. There's a Japanese company that has gone even a step further to say that not only did we make human looking robots, like ultra human looking robots, these robots also are not aware that they are robots. They think they are human. But then there's like two layers deeper into
How much is the game like iRobot or Snatcher?
I have not seen Snatcher.
It's a game.
It's a game? I have not played Snatcher. I would say that it is somewhere around...
How much is it like Blade Runner?
Then? It is somewhere between iRobot and Blade Runner.
Okay.
The construction of the robots is iRobot. The feel of everything is between iRobot and Blade Runner.
Right. You run around like...
It's hyper futuristic, like iRobot is,
but
has that
rubbly
sort of.
It hasn't gotten to the point of like,
yeah, has a weird like undergroundy kind of feel,
neon like noir of Blade Runner hasn't hit that.
It's somewhere in between there. It's in this weird zone.
Gotcha.
It's got a good feel. So if you like that sort of nonsense, Griff, you should be playing.
It's got this vending game as well. Machines that sell you gun upgrades.
Yeah, it really does.
I would have liked to play it, but I missed it.
Also, upgrading your characters is great. You don't upgrade your characters personally. You upgrade their weapons. Like that's sort of your level up system. Mm. Is every character has a main weapon to them, and you can level those up by purchasing the upgrades.
Yeah. There's like stat upgrades too, right?
There are minor stat upgrades. You can purchase these things called nano upgrades. Nano machines. They're nano machines. They straight up call them nano machines.
Nano machines.
Yeah, and you have a 2x3 grid in which you can place the nano machines.
Nano machines, Tetris style.
Yeah, essentially, but it's a small Tetris style, so it doesn't get in your way. But the thing is, like, the better upgrades that you acquire, the smaller or more convenient the shapes they come in, so that you can fit more or more appropriately fit them in place, and they do better, or maybe they just become less cumbersome and they do the same thing as the lesser grade. You know,
that a lot. Yeah. I like that idea.
You'll acquire more of them, and depending on how powerful the upgrade or how many the upgrades, you could do whatever you want to. I just went the road of I want the most powerful ones on my person at the most that I can. But you could totally do the road where it's like, I would like to have as many upgrades as possible. So it's a good upgrade system. The only system in the game that
more importantly is the teammate system, squadmate system.
That system seemed like the most it just seemed like it was tacked on for no good reason. But at the same time, I felt like that was the system I paid attention to the most in the game.
So that is like your squad friendship, social rank feeling.
Yeah,
you combat well and interact with your teammates accordingly, and then they'll either like you or dislike you and listen to your orders and help you out or disobey you and kind of go rogue.
Well, okay, yes, all that is accurate. The problem with it is that originally going into it, I had the understanding that you would be with several squad mates and you could have an answer to, like, one squad mate would ask you one thing and then you could give him an answer. And depending on that answer, it would affect him and the other squad mates around you. That is not the case.
Oh, really?
My occurrence is that.
As long as you just always agree with them?
Yeah, just being agreeable to everything anybody ever says means that the only ways I ever encountered people being upset with an answer I gave them was when I once tried to go outside of the box and just give a wild answer, which meant got a negative response, or that I accidentally shot another player while playing the game. That lowers them, but it's a very slight amount. Right. So it's
but then it's also negligible. If you're shooting well and commanding your team well, it'll also boost them.
Yes, but it does. Yeah, if you mow down three guys at a time, they love you for that.
Isn't there also like, well, when I was playing the demo, I noticed like there was a scene where one character was like, "Oh, look at that lady, she's so fine." Like, what do you think about her, commander guy? And then you had the option to like stow it or or like dot dot dot. You had like, you know, a couple options, and I chose the stow it, and he was like, dude got mad at me and was like, oh, you're no fun. And then the lady's like, I'm glad somebody takes this professionally. So it was this
I never noticed that in the entire game.
Maybe it depends on who you have in your squad. There'll be more harder decisions.
Could be. Apparently,
everybody's cool with French Robot.
Maybe. Oh God, French Robot is the best.
I'm gonna imagine French Robot is like the HK 74 of the
dude. As soon as French Robot was on my team, that's all I ever wanted.
Right.
He's so good. He sounds like Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. He just puts on that gravel and just like, oi, oui. It's terrible. It's amazingly terrible.
He doesn't speak French. It's just French accent.
He has a few French lines, but no, he does not speak French.
Mon ami.
Yeah, exactly. What does he say a lot? He says, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, yeah.
S'il vous plaît. And it's like, yeah, I understand that you really want me to do this, but I...
The one thing that I really remember... Well, okay, the two things that I really remember from the demo, one really stupid but aesthetically nice that I liked is, if you go down, you can revive yourself by jabbing yourself in the chest with this giant syringe, or your teammates can do it.
Yep.
But I like the fact that you can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself. Everybody has their own med packs, and there are even nano machines that allow you to carry more med packs, which I don't.
I just remember that little tiny piece and enjoying that.
So the other really cool thing is, say you're down, you have med packs, the nearest teammate will call out to you and ask you if you would like help.
Mm-hmm.
So you can defer to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You can be like, I don't want to waste my med pack right now. Would you come over here and resurrect me?
You'll use their med pack, which they only have so many of.
Well, that's true. But maybe I can only carry two, and Charlie over here, since I gave him the nano machine for four, can carry four. And I know he hasn't been down for a while. Not that I ever did this, but I can see where I would gain a tactical advantage. Just be like, you're right here. Just shoot me up. And then you've got three, I've got two, we're still good.
No, it makes sense. It's not just yourself, it's other squad mates. But the thing that I did not like, though, was how quick time heavy and nonsensical the boss fight was that I got to play through.
What boss fight did you do?
The first one. I don't know. It was a robot.
Okay, that doesn't help me. Usually all the boss fights are robot.
It was in a city.
Is it a spite?
I had squad mates with me.
Brumac!
Okay. Did it have a big gun and a weird-shaped head, and did you have to ram things into it? Maybe?
Sounds hot.
Okay, great. You were in a city. Oh, that's...
Whatever.
I have no idea what the demo is like, so...
The boss fight that I played, which is the one they were showcasing, which is like this giant robot, like it had a saucer head and a stupid body, and
I had to jump on top of its
head and like shoot it in its stupid robot brain.
That was dumb.
Yeah. I felt like it was just
the boss fights ramp up really well towards the end,
okay,
but then dip at the very end. Like, boss fights become really difficult and really challenging and make you really think. And there's even one boss fight where they just spend a lot of time not telling you anything about how to defeat it. I don't know. Playing the game, fun. A little challenging at times, but at least it breaks up that whole I'm a badass syndrome of like, I just mow down these dudes, no problem. Like, killing robots in that game is fun, but it also has...
They don't always die, too. Like, you shoot them and they crawl around. It's great.
No, the game teaches you at the beginning of like where you want to hit them for what reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that doesn't always like
Not when you shoot him in the head.
I can't always shoot him in the head because
just dismember them.
Shit happens. Sometimes I shoot him in the legs just to drop them so that they're not shooting at me immediately, and then I'll take out the others and then get back to them. The game is not technically, from a gameplay standpoint, is not flawed. It does a really good job. I don't hate playing that game. I would play more of that game right now. It's a good, fun game to play. The places that I take issue are some of those boss fights can be a little ridiculous. And then the other places is the story is really preposterous, but in an endearing kind of way. And the voice acting is also preposterous.
But you're telling me that in a video game where you're dealing with humanoid, fleshy skin robots that don't know they're robots, it's preposterous?
Man... You say this right now in a jokey kind of way. I'm sorry, I got to back up. You say this right now in a jokey kind of way, but play that game.
No.
Just do it. Just play it.
Is there a fake Earth that it ends on, and actually the fake Earth is a robot Earth?
Man.
And the people are actually the ones that are out of place?
Man. Damn it. After this podcast, I'm going to tell you what happened.
Is it like the first trade of the first episode of The Filth where they're growing a micro world?
Okay, so here's nobody. Okay, this is what I will tell you. Normally, I'm really good at detecting like plot twists and be like, all right, so I sort of see the curveball they're trying to throw at the main character and kind of throw his judgment all off and be like, no, but this person's not who they say they are. Like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see the nonsense they had coming. I just could not.
Okay, this will determine whether or not at some point in my life I play this game. Is there a human who ends up being a robot who then ends up being a human? Okay, that's all I need. I'm never playing it. Never.
No, I wouldn't say that. Your statement is not correct.
I'm sorry, Platinum Games.
It's not Platinum
Games.
It's
Sega.
It's Sega.
Platinum developed it, didn't it?
No, I never saw a Platinum logo. Just Sega. It's Sega and... Oh, shoot. I swear I watched all the credits because, man, I was going to watch all of those credits to see how that game ended. It's a good game.
Okay.
It is not a bad game. And it's not an amazing game either. It's good.
So it's an average game.
I think it's really good if you're someone sort of like me who appreciates the preposterous and really at this time of year wants you to just throw some bullets down range and put them in someone's face.
All right. So it's fun to play.
It is really fun to play.
That's all that matters.
It is really fun to play. The story isn't so terrible that you're just going to be like, ah, fuck this. I will say that I had more fun playing this than I did Syndicate.
Okay.
I also spent more time playing this than I did Syndicate.
From playing both those games, I would think that the Binary Domain would be more fun to play just because of its ability to change up the gameplay more so than Syndicate's.
And they do a good enough job dealing out new enemy types slowly and introducing you to different just different tactical situations and dealing with different stuff, and their characters are good enough that its pacing is good. Its pacing is really good.
Can we expect to see a review for Binary Domain, Joe?
Yeah, I will definitely try to put up one up for that really quickly.
Okay. Great. Looking forward to reading that. So I haven't been playing really anything. I played Skylanders. Hunter and I played through all of the boat, the adventure pack, which I finally got.
I would love to hear about that.
Oh.
I had one question that just ticked in my head right now.
You need to use the bathroom?
No. Because of your bringing up of Skylanders,
yeah.
I was listening to our previous episode of Boss Barrel Radio, and
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard
really
of that.
Good. It's a great show. But I don't know why it never occurred to me. I was talking a lot of smack about how awesome Gauntlet Legends is.
Yes.
You were hating on it.
Yes.
Not a lot, but a little. A decent amount.
No, I said, I don't want to play that game.
Right. Why don't you want to play that game, Griff?
Because I don't want to play it.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll play it someday, but it's a low priority.
Gauntlet Legends, it's like an old N64 game. It is. I'm not saying you have to play it immediately, but the thing that
I think I specifically said, we don't need to play that because I need to get through the library that I have before I start buying
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
But yeah.
But my only thing is, if you love Skylanders goddamn much, maybe you should play some Gauntlet Legends.
But
this is essentially the same game. You playing some dudes
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Is this right? I mean, I haven't played Skylanders to know fully, but that's what that is.
Well, okay.
It's a hack and slash dungeon crawler sort of Michigan game.
Absolutely it is. However, it's different than Gauntlet Legends because, first of all, you have toys.
Right.
Which is part of the fun, definitely.
All right, sure.
You have a much wider cast, and you have a much more... Well, you have one more layer of gameplay. I don't know if there are talent trees in Gauntlet Legends. I don't remember.
No, but...
I don't know if there's upgrades.
I thought you could level up... Or just level up maybe minor stats or something.
I don't remember.
I know you had some sort of progress. No, you would gain levels and get...
You get stronger abilities? I don't really know. But this
you progress as a something.
Skylanders gives you a very simple talent tree, an A or B talent tree. So there's more depth. And it's fun. It's the characters are all fun. Here's the thing though. The ship, which Hunter and we played through in like less than 2 hours. I suppose that's right for DLC. Unfortunately, a lot of that time is spent playing memory card game, which is a bummer because that was probably half the time of that boat. But it's kind of a disappointment. But whatever, it's still another opportunity to you know play more Skylanders and Terrafin. The Skylander that comes
street
with it,
shark.
The earth-based shark. Yeah, the street shark is awesome. He like barfs up little baby sharks that you know heat-seeking go attach and slow down and hurt. You heard me right. He's like and just pukes up other little sharks, and he can puke them up when he's burrowing under
asexual?
The water.
They don't go into it. They don't go into why he regurgitates.
I don't think there's
offspring.
I don't think it's offspring. I think it's more like. Just jaws with propulsion.
That seems a little.
He's like,
That seems questionable.
Like deadly sneezes.
I don't even.
But when he goes underwater or under the earth, he moves faster. He's like a brawler, and then he's got this belly flop that he'll jump out from the earth and slam onto the ground and do like a blast radius damage, which is really cool. And then you can spec him in two different directions. But whatever. I mean, he's great. He's really cool. And the best part about him, above and beyond all that, is when you go under the earth and start burrowing around, he'll just go... and he just makes this like weird grunting, panting noise, and it's awesome. It's
okay.
So awesome.
Okay, I believe you.
Believe it!
Oh, is that some Naruto nonsense you're shooting out right
mm-hmm.
now?
Other than that, I haven't really had a chance to do anything else.
No.
I've been listening to a lot of new podcasts since I started this new job, and I'd like to talk about those podcasts quickly. Because one thing podcasts don't do enough is talk about other podcasts. So
true.
What I just started listening to was The Comedy Button, which is the only reason I started listening to it is because they had some tie-in with old GFW radio guys. And it's Ryan Scott and Anthony Gallegos from old GFW radio, a couple of new guys. Really funny, just totally adult-only internet gross humor, but just hilarious. Like, the personalities in that show are great. They're a lot of fun to listen to. So I like The Comedy Button. Then I also started listening to my new ultimate favorite podcast called Radio Lab. It's an NPR program that kind of takes science and history, and it's the most well-produced, amazing little like story. It's like This American Life meets The Naked Scientists.
Yeah, I've been listening to this for months.
It's so good.
Yeah, Jad Abumrad does a great job producing that whole thing.
Oh my God, I love it.
His the way he strings that whole thing together is it's art.
Yeah,
the way he does that stuff is great.
Oh yeah,
and
I've got Jen listens to it now.
Every topic is enthralling.
Oh, definitely.
Have you listened to the most recent one? Guts.
Yeah, Guts. Yep.
Yep. So good.
Really good.
Yeah.
That last little segment with the man who didn't have a stomach or whatever they called it.
Yeah, the fistule.
No. The last one with the man who was just eating out of like the fake stomach.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
And he lost all his taste buds. Yeah.
So enthralling, right? I feel like there's there's
okay,
a story
Jen,
in there.
I told Jen that like my answer used to be, if you had to give up one sense, I would give up smell taste because I was like, I don't want to taste things.
No, dude, like, that sounds like it would destroy you.
But now listening to that,
I'm telling you, smell.
That man
just give it up.
Went insane.
Yeah, see, I don't have a sense of smell, and I'm
you're fine,
more or less fine.
Yeah. So I listened to that. Yeah. I also am listening to Irrational Games podcast.
Oh, okay.
Sean Elliott.
Irrational Games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The BioShock BioShock Infinite crew.
I'm on their feed. I don't have...
It's a very good podcast.
Isn't it a rather sparse...
It's not regular.
Yeah.
But they're all really good episodes, and it's great production value as well.
Oh, okay. Not unlike ours.
What's that?
Not unlike ours.
Yeah, I mean it's better. It's like just the structuring and the topics and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Like it's really done really well. Where it's I don't know if you know a little about the situation where it's like these people work in a video game studio. So how do you devise things for them to talk about that aren't the game they're working on? And Sean Elliott does a really good job of hosting, and it's not just all like. You know, vagina jokes and, talking about, bad candies.
Sure.
What else is there? I think that's about it for the new podcast I'm listening to, and then a bunch of the old ones. Maybe. Oh, yeah, and then the Sunday Puzzle, the NPR.
Yeah, you told me about that. I'm interested in that. I'd like to get on that. To feed into your topic here. But I've been listening to a lot of the Good Job Brain, which is...
Yeah, you were telling me about that, yeah. Trivia.
It's a trivia podcast where they just pose trivia on each other, and it's kind of nice. It's like watching Jeopardy or something like that, where I can use my own brain to kind of guess the questions before they can guess them.
Well, John... I got a treat for you.
I'm so...
Because we'll be starting this new segment now.
I'm so goddamn excited.
A trivia segment.
God, I mean, so my next week is filled with so
next
much...
Next week, you'll have to write some trivia for me, but I've got 10 questions here.
Oh, 10? That's a shit ton.
No, it'll be good.
It's half a shit ton.
But, I think we'll just...
Let's just kick it off now.
We'll cut it off here for games we've been playing, because there's not much else to talk about. And... I'll just get into this trivia.
Okay.
Let's make
it happen, Kevin.
So,
you have pages separate from the other pages.
I printed them out.
What?
Yeah.
You printed them.
Yeah, so here, John.
They're official and shit.
You may notice a theme for these these questions for the trivia round we're going to do this week.
Okay.
And that is,
I totally
as of this
forgot
week,
that I shouldn't have been drinking for this.
Monday, the 9th, this week, we have Fez. And Skullgirls coming out on XBLA and PSN, but Fez is only XBLA. So I decided to do an XBLA-themed trivia round for you. Okay, so there'll be 10 questions. They increase in difficulty. this all stems from talking about trivia with you and then having given up my lead train role at Cheesecake, so now I don't have anybody else to like...
Wax poetic.
Wait. I need stimulation.
Sure. My brain is primed, Griff.
Okay, so
I'm ready. Just bring
free
it.
Your mind.
I'm gonna fail
You're ready
so
here.
Hard.
So here's the first question. Do your best to answer as quickly as possible, so we avoid dead air time.
But oh, okay, sure.
Here we go. XBLA, or Xbox Live Arcade, launched in December of 2004 and required a disc. True or false?
False.
The answer is true.
Really?
Yes. On the original Xbox...
Oh, yes.
2004, okay. On the original Xbox, you needed to... It was a later edition. You had to write Xbox... You had to write Microsoft, and they would send you physical disc to run the XBLA on. Now, the question that I didn't have answered was, could you install it, kind of, and then it's a one-time thing, and you can always just boot it from the Xbox, or do you have to run it every time from the disc? And I also read that...
If that was coming off of the original Xbox, I assume that's something you had to always boot up from the disc.
They also teamed up with like Xbox Magazine or a large magazine to distribute their XBLA discs through.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here is your next question. I should probably mark these down, whether you get them right or wrong.
Ah, oh, damn.
Okay, keeping score. Wrong. Question two. XBLA, the XBLA yearly promotion that... what is the name of the XBLA yearly promotion that showcases about five games?
This is tricky. But I would imagine this is...
Think it out. Talk it out.
Well, I mean...
What is the thing that happens every year on Xbox Live Arcade?
Summer of Arcade happens every
year. Summer of Arcade. Okay, sure. Very good. Yeah. So, goes by Summer of Arcade.
Right, but what's that other thing that they have?
Block Party. They add on a bunch of other things. But
there's a few other things.
But Summer of Arcade is a big
thing that all indie developers go for.
All right, so here's your next question, number three.
Okay.
What year was the Xbox Live Indie or Community Games Service launched? It goes by either name, Xbox Live Indie or Community Games Service. Which year was that launched in?
Oh, man. So this would have to go back to my time when I was working at GameStop. I'd imagine this would have to be somewhere around 2009.
Oh, just in November.
November
2008 is when the indie service or the community service, like when people could submit their own games. I made a game with zombies in it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So this makes, that's why there was a year frame that fit for me. If you say November, then I would say it would be late 08, early 09.
It was late 08.
Yeah. Okay.
Roughly.
Got it.
Almost as late as you can get. okay. Question four. It's going to get a little trickier now. This is your last easy one here on question four. Name two games that came out in the first ever Summer of Arcade.
Piss. First ever Summer of Arcade.
Your hint is think back to 2008.
Shit.
What other games came out in 2008 that were tied into Summer of Arcade?
It's not I Made a Game.
No.
No, okay.
No, that's indie or community. I'm talking Summer of Arcade, major...
Name two of them?
Two of them.
Shit, I'm not going to be able to...
There are five. I think one of them we talked about recently? Like within the last week. Another one... We had a hard time remembering. And another one, I own two copies of, digital copies.
Oh, Lord.
And then the other one, I don't really know how well that is. But the final one is the best-selling XBLA title.
Oh, Shadow Complex?
No.
Damn. Okay. Oh, crap. Best-selling. Geometry Wars? Geo Wars 2?
Geometry Wars 2.
Damn.
Okay, that's one of them.
One down. Okay, so now that I have a game to work on,
what else came around? Came out around that year.
Hang on. Crap. Geometry Wars 2. What else came around? Geometry Wars 2.
I think 2008.
I'm really pushing it because
what's a really big game that came out? Didn't do well, but had an XBLA title that came that kind of released along with it.
Damn.
big blockbuster game failed, but had a very successful, a high budget game came out and then had an XBLA tie-in.
It would have been a downloadable game? PSN tie-in.
Yeah. Downloadable game.
Damn it.
Think hurdy gurdy gurdy pork 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 pork.
A Muppets game?
Mm.
You're not giving me.
You gotta take one more step with that clue.
Damn it.
Think think Soulja Boy. How about this for a different one?
It's not a sing along like a carry.
Okay, you get one chance. 5 seconds. Make your decision. Throw it again. Two.
I have no idea.
One.
Say
it.
Karaoke
Go.
Revolution.
No.
Something.
No. Okay, so the answers were Geometry Wars Retro Evolve 2.
Okay, sure.
Braid.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
that's the Soulja Boy reference.
Braid is the Soulja Boy reference?
Soulja Boy was most notably tied to Braid when he referred to it in his Cribs or in a YouTube video he launched as this guy in a suit who's got infinite time rewind potion. The one that I was really trying to get you to lean towards was Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Oh, damn. Okay, that makes sense.
Galaga Legions.
Okay.
And finally, Castle Crashers.
Ah! Oh,
the best-selling Xbox Live arcade game.
I'm an idiot. Okay. Castle Crashers makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so you are 2-for-4 now.
Oh, son of a
question baby. 5. This is where it gets tricky.
Tricky.
Question 5 is, what is the current maximum file size for Xbox Live Arcade games?
2 gig.
2 gig! Straight away. Excellent work.
I know these things. I
Nailed
know
it.
Some, I know some
Nailed
things.
Nailed it!
Yeah.
Okay, number 6. So you're above 50%.
Woo.
Congratulations. Here we go. What was the max file size of downloadable games when Xbox Live Arcade was first launched?
It's in the megs, right?
Definitely.
500 meg?
No.
8?
No. 50 megs.
What?
50 megs. 50
meg? Are you kidding me?
It was enough to... It had to fit on the Xbox hard drive.
Oh, damn it. I keep thinking that Xbox Live did not start until 360.
With the 360, bumped up to 64 meg.
Okay. Well, that's still tiny.
Bumped again and again and again.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Now it actually can't go anymore because of just system constraints.
All right. Well. Xbox 720.
Here you go. This one you should be able to get, I think. Name one of the 2 free Dorito branded games on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, Christ. I know both of them. There's the one where you drive around in the car with the dinosaurs chasing you.
Yep.
And then there's the other one where you're driving as a car through the racetrack.
Yes.
But can I name them?
Can you name them?
Accurately? I don't know. Damn it. The one with the dune buggy cars where you can play as the dune buggy or you can play as the turrets.
Mm-hmm.
You
got it. That is exactly
I know the games. Can I name them? I don't know that I can.
Take a stab. Clock is ticking.
Do either of them have Doritos in the name?
They both have Doritos in the
Damn
name.
Damn it.
However, both of them also have alliteration.
Illiterate? Oh.
Yeah. Like the same letter repeated in the title of both words.
Oh. Do I have Doritos Dino Destruction?
Very close.
Damn it.
Dash of Destruction.
Damn it.
The other one is Doritos Crash Course.
Ah.
Dash of Destruction is the dinosaur base game. So very close, but Dino Destruction.
Dino Destruction is a much better name. Maybe it would have sold more.
Here's one you can get, but it's going to take some thinking.
Oh.
Okay. $1 equals how many Microsoft points?
Oh, damn math. Oh, hang on.
Do your best. 80. You exactly. 80 Microsoft points equals $1.
All right.
Very good. Okay. So you know our 4 for 8. So very good. Did I give
50-50.
50-50, man.
C-.
Yeah. That still is passing. Not a C-.
No? On what grading scale?
50-50?
Yeah. It's like, it's like a D half plus.
Out of them, that would be an F. I don't know what sort of curve the military grades on.
Hey, the school I was in with 18 kids in your class and you want to pass as many as you can? Dude, it's a C minus at best.
Okay. What was the first free XBLA game bundled to the 360?
Hold on. I feel like I know that. Okay. Oh, shoot.
With every...
Wait, are you saying like pack... Like, if I were to go into a store and buy a brand new 360, this game came with it.
Came on the hard drive.
Oh, Christ, my brain. Hang on. I feel like I should know this.
Because you probably played it.
I worked in the industry when this stuff launched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on.
I'm thinking about getting a 360, John. Is there any games that it comes with? That's a lot of money.
I feel like it's something like Ridge Racer.
That's a Sony title.
But
Ridge Racer.
No.
Ridge Racer.
That's a Sega title, no?
It's a Sony title.
Ridge Racer?
It's a Sony title.
All right. All right. No. Okay. So, okay. Damn it.
How about,
I feel like
it's hex based, if that helps.
Hexic?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Positive. Hexic HD.
That's crazy.
Yeah, okay. Very good. So now you're at your D-ish area.
D-ish.
All right. Your final question, quite possibly the most challenging and also the easiest because of the odds are in your favor.
Okay.
The 10th question for this week's trivia is, name an XBLA title available on the original Xbox.
Oh, crap. Well, this doesn't include games on demand, or does it? Because I feel like it...
Okay. It is only XBLA titles.
Okay. Damn. Is there there's only one? Or are there more than one?
There are a lot.
Okay, so I've got a...
There are close to...
Forza? But that, okay, so you said
on the original Xbox, XBLA titles.
Okay,
so there is almost 30.
Xbox Live Arcade. God.
On the original Xbox.
I just did not care about Xbox at that time. Oh, crap.
My suggestion to you would be to take a game.
Hexic HD.
No. That.
What? No. Geometry Wars.
No.
Why?
These are all Xbox 360 titles. Think of a game that has been ported to almost everything, but that has no original console specificity.
Pac-Man. Pac-Man HD? No, that's not right either. Mrs. Pac-Man?
Mrs. Pac-Man! Great. Excellent work.
Pac-Man never came out on an official console, did it?
No.
Okay.
But yeah. So the choices were Alien Sky, Astro Pop, Automanders,
Bomberman,
Bankshot Billiards, Bejeweled, Bookworm, Dangerous Minds, Dino and Aliens, Feeding Frenzy, Garth Vader, Revenge of the Dollar Sign Ailer, Chewbacka, Evan Strikes Back.
You can't even read it.
Gauntlet, Guardian, Hamster Ball, Hardwood Solitaire, Joust, Marble Blast Gold, Ms. Pac-Man, Mutant Storm, Namco Vintage, Pole Position, Dig Dug and Galaga. Orbs, Pipeline, Ricochet Lost Worlds, Robotron 2084, Smash TV, Super Collapse 2, Think Tanks, and Zuma.
Oh, Zuma. Like, Jesus.
There you go.
That's so weird.
That was 6 out of 10. So very well done for the first round of trivia.
Above crappy.
You succeeded with the XBLA trivia.
Shoot, I got to make your next week really hard.
Okay. I think this... Okay, so we're going to do this weekly now with trivia. It will alternate who gets to write for who, but... I'll tell you, it's really fun making the questions.
I'm sure it's fun making the questions. It is not fun guessing the questions.
Do you think any of them were too hard?
Or no, I think they were perfectly acceptable. Most of them were questions that I should know, but I just came into the brain interference where it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. So look forward to more trivia segments in the future. I had a lot of fun with that. Thank you for playing.
No problem, Griff.
See you next week. Before we go, though, a little bit of news, I guess. I don't know if you have much to talk about. I don't really have anything. Like I said, Skullgirls and Fez coming out this week. And then there's a new Kickstarter project. Well, several. There's this, like, Banner Saga, this 2D sort of cartoon looking dragon. It reminds me of Dragon Slayer, but it's like a cartoony game, and it's gonna be like a strategy, isometric strategy game done by dudes who worked on KOTOR, I want to say.
Weird.
And then it also has the dude who did the music for Journey on board. They have a Kickstarter if you want to look them up. Ryan Payton's company, Camouflage,
is that the one that has the weird
messed up spelling of camouflage.
Camouflack.
Yeah, he's got a game coming up, but I couldn't find it on Kickstarter, and I couldn't find Camouflack on Kickstarter either. I know if... I'm sorry, like, I don't know what it is. If I could find it, I'd look it up and be involved within it. But it's supposed to be like an ISO game or something like that he's backing, and it has the people who did the intro for Metal Gear Solid 4, the weird FMV video stuff on doing video for it too. So that's great.
So my understanding is that Kickstarter has a website of their own. Like, it's like, would it be like Kickstarter.com?
If you wanted to. Yes, John.
Because my, like, this is a brand new world to me.
Okay.
I have not been aware.
Well, let me tell you, as a veteran Kickstarter supporter, if you'd like to be involved in this, it's just Kickstarter.com. You go there, and then it's you have to sign up an account with an account. You can link it to your Amazon, and then it'll give you, like, it has different categories, like photography, theater, music, games, you know, technology. And they have all these different categories that people will file these projects under.
Okay.
Then the projects will have to have a goal in mind. They have a month to get funded, and you can donate as much money or as little money, you know, a dollar,
sure,
to the project as you want. It'll take that money and process it as an Amazon transaction.
Sure.
If the designer of the Kickstarter, the originator of it, will say, I need to make this goal. If everybody donates to me, then here's what I promise. So,
sure,
for example, if you take the Double Fine Kickstarter as an example, if they say, we're going to do this video documentary of it, and we're also going to make this game. You pledge $400K, we'll match that, and then we're going to develop a game with it. The nice thing is, for every game project on Kickstarter so far, it's exceeded the amount. Like, it goes above and beyond. Like,
well, it's good that they have that nice community in place for people, right, to come together and decide on what they want.
Well, okay, I should rescind that. As of about 2 weeks ago, that's the case. But now they're starting to get all these weird little projects that are bubbling up to the surface, and they're getting kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel like it's been picking up steam as of late that doesn't seem to like it's good steam.
So what's really good about it is, when this is done right, it will... The designer of the project will promise certain rewards for people who back so much money. So if you donate, usually the standard is $10 to $15. You donate that much, and then you generally will get like a digital copy of the game. And then from there, it's like if you double that, you get some deluxe edition. If you get to, you know, 100, you get something a little bit more. If you donate 1,000, you get, you know, something, you know, your name as part of a game character. And then you can get up to like to the hundreds of, or like the $10,000, and it's like you get flown to LA and you get to hang out with the developers for the launch party. And and people take those. They're gone. Like, usually there's only two. Like, you can put a limit on that. Usually there's only two, and they're usually already gone. So it's definitely worthwhile to look up. But like I said, now there's getting to be a lot of weird projects. Like, you may have heard about this, like, infamous RPG MMO that's out there.
Yeah.
That has no design behind it, and it's just jackassery that somebody decided to submit and run away with money.
Cursory knowledge of what it takes to design an MMO. Sure.
Yeah, the Simpsons video game nerd. You take the World of Warcraft combat system and you combine it with the Star Trek lore, and all of that gets combined in erotic fleshlight fiction.
Perfect.
You know, it's just absurd, ill thought out things. But the one that I'd like to draw people's attention to is the Shadowrun, which I've donated to now. It's a Super Nintendo title and role-playing game.
Have you played the Super Nintendo and the 360 one?
I haven't played the 360 one, but I played the Nintendo or the SNES one by accident on emulator like years and years ago.
Okay. I have not played the Super Nintendo one.
Don't play the 360.
I have played the 360 one.
Don't do that.
I am here to tell you and everybody who might listen to this, don't do that.
Right. Even
I made that decision for you. Don't do it. It's bad.
No, even if you watch the video, but like, because usually the Kickstarters that are well budgeted and well designed will have like a video that's like, you know, this is our intention. This is who I am. This is what our plan is. This is my story. Let me make this game because I want to play it. It's usually the I want to make it is like the, not because I want to make money off it, but I just want to make it. That's the resounding theme for all these great games that are cropping up on Kickstarter. I forget his name, but the gentleman that is basing this one basically says, like, sorry about the one for 360. That was out of my control.
That one is abysmal.
And then they throw a bunch of fruit at the guy that made it.
Right. If you're a person that ever played the tabletop Shadowrun game,
mm-hmm.
and then you go and decide, hey, you like that, and then you play the 360 one, don't. That is not a good way to make yourself happy. Like,
right. Well, here's the thing that I'm most impressed with, too, is like there's another game out there, Wasteland 2. Like, the team that made the original Fallout 1 and 2 are going to make another Fallout-esque, you know, isometric strategy RPG. And they've been well funded. Like, they've done it. They're there, well above and beyond their 800,000 that they needed or whatever they claimed. And that's it. I'm not going to donate to them because I think that they've reached their goal. But Shadowrun, when I started, was under their budget, so I donated to boost it up. Now they've well exceeded it. But what they've done now is they say, okay, since we've exceeded it, this is what we're going to give you. Multiple languages. We're going to have different localizations, and then we're also going to add in these three different new types of classes and abilities that we wouldn't normally been able to implement, which is really cool. And then they also say, okay, if we still got 20 some odd days left, so if you keep kicking in the funds, like we're about, they give you a bar graph and they do updates all the time. They say, if you go more, we're going to do better music, invest more in the music. Good. And then we're also going to invest in spoken dialogue.
Spoken dialogue.
I really, really appreciate what the team behind this has, or how they're using Kickstarter to keep the updates coming and saying, this is what we're going to put your money towards. This is what we're putting it towards. A lot of them even say, I'm not taking any of this money. This is all going for pure development. Like, I'm doing this as my love and my hobby.
But that's the way it should be. I mean, if you're putting yourself up for Kickstarter, that's, I mean,
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of how it is? Like, the money that gets generated for your project is all supposed to go towards it, yeah?
Right. But, I mean, I can also appreciate where it's like, this is a man whose job is to make games,
should
maybe take some to get by and live and have,
a well-being. I completely agree with the idea of, you know, the more beyond his goal that he gets, the more incentive you should place on those people to give him even more reason to continue to fund that project. If people love it so much, continue loving it. So,
Well, I would also like to say there's one more game on there that I'd like to steer people away from, and that's I'm not going to say the name, but it's a game by Gaijin Works or Gaijin Games, in affiliation with Monkey Paw, Victor Ireland's company, Gaijin Games, and I just, it's really deplorable. Like, he's such a good guy, and he did so much with Game Soft Works. I forget what that company was that made it. It was like the localization team for America, but it's actually, like, you know, kind of ill written, his design for it, where it's like, you know, it's your fault that there's no great JRPGs anymore because you don't buy them anymore. So put your money where your mouth is and pay to have this game made, and then let's have more JRPGs.
Whoa.
And then it's also like the goal is $900,000 for this PSP PSP JRPG.
What?
So now, you know,
just under a mil for a.
I'm guessing a lot of it would go to printing UMDs, sure. But that's not how you do a Kickstarter, dude.
Right. Make it a PSN DLC. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Make it just something that you can download.
Put it on Steam like everybody's doing.
Yeah. Just do that. If you want to really get it out, you don't have to, like,
put some JRPGs on Steam. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Because there are none.
Actually, yeah. Sure. Do it. Do it. Because telling me that you want to put something on the PSP means that, shit, I got to go buy a PSP.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do that anymore.
Well, the other thing that's extra dirty about it is, you don't actually get the reward of the game until you donate $60 to it.
Ugh.
So there's no real incentive for initially backing it.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I can understand it.
Because because say I drop $10 and then that game actually comes out, and then I drop the $30 to purchase said game, I've still come under the $60 purchase to make that.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Because
it's poorly thought out.
Yeah, right. Economics.
Yeah. John, that's all I got to say about Kickstarter.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah. I like it.
No, it's good. It's good. People are being shady, but it's good.
What do you want to talk about?
Did I have
Netflix, something? You said? You downloaded the Xbox is having a Netflix update, a much-needed Netflix update.
Shoot. My jigger. Hang on. I had a bunch of stuff. Did you want to talk about Mass Effect anymore, or are we done?
You mean the DLC that was coming out?
Yeah, that patch.
Did we talk about it, or did we just talk about it at work?
Well, there's the big patch that comes out here, like, now or next week or something like that, where they're going to fix a bunch of known issues for PC. Okay, so it's the 9th, which would be...
Today.
Or for consoles, tomorrow, which would be...
Is this the Resurgence pack?
This is like you want to import your facial construction from.
This is just a bug fix.
This is a bunch of bugs fix stuff that will be coming out today or tomorrow, depending on where you're playing it on. You know, just a bunch of stuff. Nothing super huge or anything.
Then there's the Resurgence pack, which is multiplayer, new character skins and classes.
Yes.
Well, I should say it's not new classes, it's just new skins of already existing classes.
Right.
And new weapons
and then there's abilities. The ending stuff.
Well, that's the director's cut.
Right.
And that is on a DLC that I don't think has been announced yet.
Right. just been talk about it.
The director's cut of the ending, which is going to have new things to flesh out the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Okay, and then I guess there's just a few other things that I had sort of, you know, highlighted on my news feed.
PAX East.
PAX
East. Easter weekend. It's Passover weekend.
Passover Easter weekend. Yeah, we haven't talked about that. It's still sort of going on. It's done right now.
Yeah, last day was Sunday.
Okay. I don't have anything on that.
There's some playable games.
Really?
Borderlands 2 and Assassin's Creed 3.
Wow.
It's kind of big deals. Wow.
That must be pretty far along on AC3 then.
I was reading a article about it in AppGamer today.
Sure.
And it's been in development since Assassin's Creed 2.
What?
Yeah.
Look at them go.
Yeah.
Making them games and shit.
So.
Okay. I'm excited about it then. I mean, if they've been working on it for that long.
Well, yeah, the complete overhaul of the engine that it was running on has probably taken up most of the time.
Sure, that's a big toll. Okay, how much do you want to talk about on Pokemon Conquest?
Just tell me what it is. Less than 10 words.
Tecmo Koei is making a Pokemon game that's to
almost
be released.
There. Yeah.
In June.
What is it? That's what I want to know. Why should I care?
Why should you care? Because it's not Nintendo.
Yes, but why? What is it? What is a Pokemon game made by Tecmo Koei?
I don't care
when it comes out.
It's a medieval Pokemon game that will feature 6-on-6 combat that is put out by not Nintendo, but Tecmo Koei. So,
the fine makers of games like
Kessen and Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden.
So, maybe different?
Definitely different.
It's supposed to feature 200 Pokemon that span the stretch of Red and Blue to Black and White.
Sure.
So, that could be anything. But it's a Pokemon game that's out for the DS, not confirmed that it's 3DS. Just says DS.
It's a game that has Pokemon in it.
Yes.
That's made by Tecmo and Koei.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. What else do I have here? How much do you care about Double Dragon?
Not a lot.
Never mind then.
The reboot you're talking?
Yeah, the Neon. Double Dragon Neon. Okay.
I don't think there's enough out there to talk about.
Do we care about how much America hates EA?
Nope, because I don't believe in that study.
Okay. How much do you care about...
I feel like that's all just robot clicking devices that are just telling the internet to hate EA because some people on 4chan EA.
It went head-to-head EA to Bank of America.
Again.
All right.
Internet clicking devices.
Hey, if it was... All right, fine. I mean... how much do you care about Xbox 360 releasing a line of Chrome controllers?
No.
Okay.
Less
than three or four.
Less
of
than
them.
Any.
Blue,
are they
silver,
cheaper
red?
Than current controller
Negative.
Prices?
Negative.
They're not interested.
They all have the fancy transformer.
So they're still just D-pads. As expensive.
So there's silver, red, and blue.
Okay. Okay. There's okay. The,
we're
stop it.
We're done. We're done. And then Meat Boy coming to iOS.
Oh.
Which has me interested. And it's not a port of Super Meat Boy to iOS. It is a complete
different
rebuild of Super Meat Boy for iOS for touch controls.
Interesting.
Which was the primary thing when I saw this was that I did not want to play Super Meat Boy
with a virtual D-pad.
With a virtual, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did not want to do any of that. So if it's Super Meat Boy for a touch device, built for a touch device, now you have my attention.
Yeah.
But to say that you're going to port it, yeah. So, it's coming out. I don't have a date or anything, but it is coming.
Square Enix Final Fantasy has a release date for America. Yeah. So thank God you do not need to port that game. As Sushi's Tonight, so I can speak that. That has a date, but I don't know what that date is because I don't care about that game.
Right? No one does. No one should. At this point, if you see Square, something, just stop.
Here, there's a new Dragon Quest game coming out.
Yeah. You know the other thing that keeps me from trusting anything that Square Enix puts out is all that Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect nonsense. Have you seen any of this?
What?
How much do you love Final Fantasy 13 2?
Zero.
Okay.
How you're talking about the suit.
There's a Mass Effect suit and an Assassin's Creed suit for that game. Dumb.
Oh, crap. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Something it was actually good.
Oh, and you were shaking in my iPhone.
What was it? I was shaking?
You were gesturing.
I know. I was gesturing. This is what I thought of it. I'm going to rewind the tapes to remember it now. Anyway, something was going to happen, and it sounded awesome. Because it probably was.
Oh, man.
But I'll never remember right now.
Oh, man.
Let me think. Was it about fish?
Think quick, because like you last week, I need to utilize the facilities.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'll come up with it. Oh, God man. Knows I won't. So, we'll just call it here.
Rhymes. Metal Gear, you said to call it here.
This has been Boss Barrel Radio, episode 68. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Look forward to next week where we have more trivia. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. I'll save that. I'm not going to say anything. It's, you know, it's having to do with those trophies that are over there on that table.
Oh, damn.
I've got a lot of things in the works right now, we'll say, for video content that's coming, along with more of this old games in the future. But this has been Boss Barrel Radio. I'm Griffin Hoffman, and with me, as always, is John Stanhope.
No email?
I'm not going to check this week. We're almost getting to 2 hours, so it's time to go. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.